Scripture reading this evening comes from the Epistle of Galatians and the first five verses. If you'll turn there with me in your Bibles, it's on page 972 if you're using the Pew Bible. Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. The reading of God's Word. Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. As far as the reading of God's word, let's pray. Our God and Father in heaven, we have heard your word read, and we ask that you bless it to our hearts, conform us to the image of Christ by it, by the working of your Spirit. And now, as we hear the word of God preached, we ask that you would indeed be merciful to us, that we would worship you in the hearing and worship you in the responding, that in all things you might receive the glory. In Christ's name, amen. Now, the Epistle of Galatians, to many of us, will be very familiar. And if it's not very familiar, it's wonderful that we're going through it because it is a wonderful epistle. It's a wonderful portion of God's Word that teaches so clearly the wonderful doctrine of justification. That is to be made right with God, to have our sins forgiven and to be counted as righteous in Christ through faith alone and through grace alone because of what the Father has done for us in Christ Jesus. Now, the book of Galatians also has some unique characteristics to it that we need to pay attention to hear the tone in which these doctrines are given to us. Because you could read in the epistle to the Romans, and you would read about this wonderful doctrine of how we have peace with God, how we have forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus through faith alone, through grace alone. And you could find that in the book of Hebrews as well. And it's the same doctrine, but it's being brought forth for different purposes. And so what we need to know as we're reading through Galatians, we read through even these first five verses, is that while these doctrines will all be present, these truths are all present, this epistle, this letter, is a howler. I don't know if you know what a howler is, but actually, I do know that you know what a howler is. You might not know it by that term. A howler is a type of letter that J.K. Rowling put together in the Harry Potter series. It's a magical letter that parents send to their children. And when it comes, you don't want it to be for you. It comes and it's smoking and it's steaming as it flies through the air because it's a magical letter. And it's going to find you. And as it comes after you, you're sitting at a table with all of your friends, it parks itself right in front and it's steaming and you know I'm in for it now. Because a howler is a letter that comes to you only when you've done something very foolish. Perhaps you've taken your parents' car out, you wrecked it, and then you went to school, or something like that. You would expect a howler. And what happens is as the howler explodes open, it explodes with a very loud rebuke to the individual who's receiving it. And it goes on, and it states why it was sent, states why they're in trouble, all of these things. And then at the end, it'll say, and by the way, say hi to so-and-so and, you know, love mom and dad. And it goes like that. So I think that's helpful to think of when we look at the book of Galatians, because what Paul is writing to these churches about is that they are on the cusp of forsaking the gospel in which they once believed. They're on the cusp of taking in new doctrines that aren't just new information to add to the faith that was delivered to them by Paul. They're on the cusp of taking in new doctrines that will transform what they had into a completely different faith. So Paul writes to them as an apostle to warn them Beware what you are about to give up. Beware of where you're standing. And that's what brings us to the first five verses that we're looking at this evening. If you can look at them, they're a bit foreboding to the one that's about to read them. Because it could have been a letter like this. Could have had an introduction. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and the brothers who are with me, to the churches in Galatia, grace and peace to you. And he moves on. But he doesn't. It's an extended introduction, and it's a very pointed introduction. And we'll look at it. Because what he's going to do, in verse 6, if you cheat and we look ahead, he says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Well, he's astonished. But before he's going to get to his astonishment, he's going to give us a grounds for why he's so astonished, because he's going to tell us what is this great gospel that they're about to forsake. You see? What's the grounds for the astonishment? The astonishment is this. Christ gave himself for you. Christ died for your sins so that you don't have to bear the penalty for them. God the Father raised Jesus from the dead so that you have hope in the resurrection and you receive the Spirit of adoption. Now, he doesn't talk about the Spirit here because he's saving it as the kicker in chapter 3 of what was the evidence of the gospel that you received. But this is what he's reminding them of. Have you forgotten so quickly? Have you forgotten so quickly the wonder that was proclaimed amongst you when Christ was proclaimed amongst you as crucified? Have you forgotten so quickly? And are you throwing aside anything that I taught you so quickly? You see, you have to hear it like that, because the points through this text are fairly simple. The first thing that Paul is going to confront them with is, listen, I'm writing to you as an apostle, which means that it's not Paul only who is writing to you. It's Paul writing on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ who is writing to you, and you're going to be brought into a confrontation with your Lord. And then he's going to go on to explain to them that it's Christ who is the only mediator between God and man. And we know that. So did the Galatians. But he's reminding them, they need to know, and they need to be reminded, this is the only way to appear righteous before God. And then he's going to remind them, in any other gospel that you think that you might be following, what you are going to see is you are going to appeal to your own works in the end. And what you're going to do, not only are you going to forsake the Christ who was proclaimed to you, but you're also going to steal the glory of God. Because, sure, you noticed in these first five verses, how much does he refer to what the Galatians have done in any of that? Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through men, nor through Jesus Christ, God the Father, who raised him from the dead. There's God working. And then he says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. This is what God has done for his people. And so when Paul writes to them, look at how he interjects immediately. He says, Paul, an apostle, holds up his finger maybe, not from men. This is not a human activity, and not through man. Not through man. Because it was the risen Christ who called Paul to his office. And what does an apostle do? The apostle was an office that we don't have anymore, but it was for the building of the foundation of the church. And there was one foundation to build upon, wasn't there? There was one foundation, and it was to build on the foundation, which was Jesus Christ, and continues to be Jesus Christ. But Paul's an apostle, and he knows the hearts of men, and he knows how prone we are, as the song says, to wander from that sure foundation, to grasp around at other things. And he says, do not forsake the gospel, because the gospel is in Jesus Christ alone. So Paul brings them to see what our confession speaks of sometimes that we're convicted of the authority of the Scripture because the Holy Spirit testifies to it. But we're also, by the very nature of what it speaks of, reminded of the heavenliness of the matter. And that's what you need to hear when you read an epistle, is the heavenliness of the matter. This is God himself in Christ Jesus appealing to his church, appealing to his church to remember what God has done for them in Christ Jesus, what God has done for you in Christ Jesus, and not to look to any other. You'll see also that Christ is put forward as the only mediator between God and man in this extended introduction. Paul says, "Listen, I'm appealing to you as an apostle on behalf of God himself, on behalf of Jesus Christ, who called me." And who is this Jesus? "But through Jesus Christ, who was raised by the Father." So he's the risen Christ. And that's why in the third verse he says, "Listen, when I'm wishing you grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." See, he's moved. God raised him from the dead. But this Jesus Christ who gave himself for you is the same Jesus who is now ascended at the right hand of God the Father Almighty and is received as an inheritance all the nations. He is the Lord. So Paul says to the Galatians, "Listen, I am writing to you as an apostle. But don't simply hear my voice. I am reminding you, hear the voice of Christ calling out to you because you're his people. And he is reminding you, go no further, go nowhere else than to stand on Christ alone. Because it's in Christ alone." Did you notice this? He says in verse 1, that Paul was called through Jesus Christ and God the Father. Now, God the Father exists always as God the Father to God the Son. But in verse 3, he says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father." Now, how did that happen? To God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What he's reminding them is, listen, this is the work that God has done, and God did this work in Jesus Christ, but he did it for you. As much as he's warning the Galatians, he writes to them as the churches in Galatia. These are the people purchased by Christ's blood who have claimed interest in the gospel, and he's reminding them. He's reminding them, listen, do you pray, "Our Father"? How do you call God your Father if you don't call him your Father in Jesus Christ, whose Father that was, and in whom you've received adoption as sons? Do you see what he's starting to put together here? And he's going to remind them further. He's written to them as an apostle, but look at how he trickles this down. He's written to them so he has all of the authority of God on his side. And also they should be comforted that it is God himself who seeks out his people through his word. But look at how he transitions in verse 2. He's writing to them on behalf of the Lord and all the brothers who are with me. There's two things that he's doing there. There's two things. The first thing is, as he's about to bring a charge or a warning against them for forsaking the gospel, he's telling them, all of the brothers who are with me bear witness to this gospel that I'm testifying to you, that I am in the right, and they agree with me that you are forsaking the truth that you once received. So he bears witnesses with them, but he doesn't just call them witnesses, does he? He calls them his brothers, and he calls them the Galatians brothers. That's why he just calls them brothers. So you have the authority that he's writing with, but you also have him starting to introduce that it's a family affair. And he's appealing to them not only with the authority that he has as an apostle, he's appealing to them also as their brother in the Lord, you see. And that's why he moves on to the churches in Galatia, grace and peace from God our Father. and the Lord Jesus Christ, look, who gave himself for our sins. And he's placed himself now with them, reminding them it is one gospel. He's a minister of that gospel, but they are all in Christ by the same gospel. And they are all dependent upon that same gospel to be delivered from their sins and out of the present evil age. Do you see how he's worked his way down so that there is an authority and a thrust behind everything that he's going to say, but there's also a coming alongside these Galatians that he's writing to, saying, listen, I'm writing to you. I have a ministry to bear under the Lord Jesus, and this is my ministry, to tell you that you are in grave danger of forsaking the faith. And what would that danger include? That danger would include not being able to call God their father because they're not in the family of God, because they're not in Jesus Christ. There would be danger in that because they would not be delivered out of this present evil age, because they would not be in Christ Jesus, who the Father raised again from the dead. The danger would be that they would not receive grace and peace from God, their Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see how he's bolstering this so that they feel the sheer weight of what they're considering? Paul's saying, listen, brothers, aren't we brothers? Don't we call the same God Father? Aren't we looking forward to the same salvation when Christ returns again for his people? Are you going to turn so quickly from that? Have you forgotten so quickly? Have you forgotten what I proclaimed to you? Have you counted it that small that now you'll completely remove it and you'll go back to what he says later, to trying to reincorporate circumcision or celebrating the festivals and the ceremonies? And he's saying, listen, don't go back. If you know Jesus, what business do you have trying to go back and reincorporating anything out of the old covenant? Because those things were shadows that were pointing to Jesus. And what he's going to say to them is this, is that if you are trying to go back and trying to be right before God by keeping the law or by circumcision, you have completely misunderstood the law. And where you're walking is not just dangerous, it's absolutely absurd. You haven't understood the law and you haven't understood Christ. Will you really have tasted of the Spirit and then be perfected in your own flesh? See, those are the kind of arguments that we're working through in Galatians that we need to hear too, because we don't want to just tut-tut on the Galatians. We could say, you know, these Galatians, they've wandered quite foolishly, you know. But they need, you know, we know that when we read the epistles, we know that we have to heed them as not only the word of God, but as Christ himself appealing to us. We know that Christ alone is the mediator between God and man. And we know already that all the glory must go to God. We do. And yet, how often do we find that we're prone to move around a little bit in there, and we find that we do take some pride in how much we have grown in righteousness since the day that we were first saved. I've done quite well. I've done even better, perhaps, than so-and-so. Well, I took my sanctification more seriously than others, right? And in so doing, it's not that we shouldn't take sanctification seriously, but who just got the glory in that? It wasn't God. Because in all of the work of God, what the people of God should be filled with is thanksgiving, is an absolute and profound thanksgiving, knowing that if we are justified before God by grace alone, and not by grace so that we can then go back to the law, but by grace alone, that we should be the humblest people on the face of the earth. If we have been saved and justified before the holy God by faith alone, We should be the freest people on the face of the earth, knowing that any work that we needed to be received before God has already been accomplished in Christ Jesus. Is it any wonder that what Paul then writes to them, despite the danger that they're in, still calling them churches, he says to them, and I think he's reminding them, Galatians, grace and peace to you. Grace and peace. Both of those things together, that you've received grace upon grace before your God. And you have peace with God. And not only that, but God ministers to us so that knowing that we are sinners, and nobody knows how great of sinners we are than ourselves except God, I think. Sometimes we fool ourselves, but we know. And Martin Luther was so fond of saying that peace also includes the peace of the conscience. That we can know that what Christ did, didn't bypass anything, but took everything in our stead, and then put us right before God in Christ, saying, Son, saying, justified, and saying, you will be sanctified unto glory, because this is my work. This is God's work. And sometimes we need to be reminded not to put our faith in anything else in that work, that it is God's work. And we are dependent upon God for that work. We need to keep looking to what he's done for us in Christ Jesus to be strengthened in that faith. You see, there's at once we can read Galatians, and there are extremely rich doctrines for us about reading how are we made heirs of the covenant, how are the Israelites and the Gentiles made one people of God. We can go on, and these are wonderful doctrines, but there's another aspect that we read in Galatians that's really quite simple. And the fundamental core of it is this. He's saying, look at the gospel here in the first five verses. Look at it. See how wonderful it is. Don't forget that. And then do you see how astonished I am that you would go anywhere else? That you would add anything to what Christ did? Astonishing. Because there's a simplicity to the Christian faith, isn't there? And the simplicity of it is, you've believed in Jesus for the deliverance from your sins, for forgiveness. We've repented. We've been baptized into his name, haven't we? And so there's a profound and a glorious simplicity where God continues to remember that we are but dust. We are but dust, but he's been mindful of man, provided a redeemer for us in Jesus so that we would have grace and peace with God. Now, this is not something that is from men. It's not something that is manly. It's nothing that is man-made. There is a heavenliness in the matter here of God himself appealing to us to remember the gospel, to sit in the gospel and to continually consider, what has Christ done for you? Are you resting in that? Have you sought grace and peace in Jesus Christ and in him alone? You see, not grace and peace in Jesus Christ and also some other things. Because the grace and peace that you have in Jesus Christ is the only grace and peace that matters, and it is profound because he's offered you his very self in the gospel. It was he who was crucified for your sins, and it's he who was raised from the dead, the firstborn, the new creation. It's in him that we have utmost confidence that as we're looking forward to the deliverance from this present evil age, that nothing can separate us from the love of our Father in heaven, not even death, because Christ has already gone through that for us, and we've tasted of the Spirit. We've tasted of the Spirit, and we know that he who began a good work will be faithful to complete it in you in the day of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah for that. So as we read these five simple verses. They're written to churches considering another path. And the way that Paul has orchestrated the whole extended introduction, why wasn't it shorter? It's as if he's saying this: let me lay out for you what you already know, but I'm going to be very clear about it. I'm going to remind you of some very clear things. And I'm going to remind you, grace to you, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to remind you that it was that Jesus who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of God the Father, because he planned it from the beginning to redeem you. And then he's going to say, to whom be the glory forever. Amen? You see how he can point that by putting the amen at the end of it. It's he's reminding the church, he's saying, you know these things to be true, and you know, and you're going to know as you see this introduction, why I'm writing to you, that it's going to be a pointed letter. And he puts the amen because we all know, I heard a couple, you hear that, you're put forward to say, amen, amen, that's true. And that's what Paul's doing here. He's reminding them, he's saying, you know that I was an apostle. I am an apostle of the Lord Jesus, so I'm writing to you on his behalf. And you know that Christ alone is the mediator between God and man. And you know that in the work of your salvation, God alone must receive the glory. And he's delivered you out of this present evil age. Amen. 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 That is where our grace and peace is from, and we affirm that. We're reminded, all glory be to God, because the work is God's. Thanks be to God. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for the mercy that you have bestowed upon us in your will, that you have redeemed us as a people in the Lord Jesus Christ, who humbled himself for us, that we might indeed have grace and peace from our God. May we walk, Lord, in this grace and peace, Lord. Cause us to persevere in our faith and to daily experience that wonderful communion that we have in Christ Jesus. We ask these things in his name. Amen. Please stand with